So as I was preparing for speaking at some of the churches that we were at, the one great benefit is that the place that we were staying, the hostel, had internet service that sometimes worked. And so I was trying to find a good opening to one of the messages, and I found this story. It was kind of cute. It was about a missionary who went to a Spanish-speaking country and did not know any Spanish. And the missionary was in this church service that was done, of course, in all Spanish, and he didn't know really a word. So he just went in and he sat beside, you know, someone in the church, a guy in the church, and whatever that guy did, he did, you know. And so when the guy clapped, he clapped. When the guy said amen, he said amen, you know. When the guy stood up, he stood up. When the guy sat down, he sat down. So, you know, worship, that went really well. He was just following the lead of this guy. And so then everybody was seated, and the pastor stood up, and the pastor said some words. And after he said some words, the man that was next to the missionary stood up. So the missionary stood up, you know. And when he did, there was a hush, a silence that just fell over the whole congregation, and everybody was just looking at this missionary, you know. And the pastor just got red as well. The man knew something very terrible just happened, and so he sat down embarrassed right away. And when he sat down, everybody started laughing, and the pastor said in English, because the pastor could speak English, the pastor said, "I just congratulated our congregation on the new baby that was just born, and I asked the proud father to please stand up." Ho yo! You can get yourself in trouble when you don't know the language, I want to tell you. Ah, amen. It was kind of cool. I the day before we left, I started a Spanish class and was able to pick up some words, you know, on the trip. That was pretty good. I preached four times. Dee also ministered many times down there, ministered to women. One meeting, you know, talk about that that beatitude that we say should be added, you know, where it's in the, you know, the Beatitudes. We always say that there should be just one more. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break, right? Flexible. So Dee was told that she was going to teach at a women's meeting. And, you know, so teach, you know, so she goes, and it ends up being a service, and men, women, you know, the whole thing. And so Dee preached to the congregation as well. It was wonderful, right? It was a very good trip. And we went there looking for opportunities to help the people of Guatemala. We went there looking for ways that we could help, but also to find and look for opportunities for our church, to see if there was something that we found on there that the Lord would speak to us about that we could bring back to you as a congregation, that we knew we could make a difference. You know, we have been going to Mexico for many years and working in an orphanage there. It was wonderful, good experiences. Remember the one year we had 21 people from our church going to that mission trip. It was incredible. You know, we loved just ministering to the children down there. But quite frankly, over a period of about 10 years, the news about the orphanage there in San Luis, Mexico, really got out, because Cornerstone Television kind of sponsored that orphanage. And so after 10 years, quite frankly, the needs were very well met. You understand what I mean. The kids were being taken care of. Matter of fact, the last trip we had to put our name in early because there were so many people wanting to come. So when we found that out, then we said, okay, that's wonderful. The Lord is taking care of those children there. But now, Lord, show us a place where we could go and help, where there is a need not being met. Amen? That's what you want to do. You want to find the need that is not being met. And I got to tell you, we found a lot of needs that were not being met. Dee went to one church called Agua Caliente, which means what? That's right. That's right. And this was the one that I was telling some people about. It was called the Jumping Church. because they had these little kids that were just so excited about the Lord that they were just like jumping Mexican jumping beans, you know, just excited. But very poor area, and a very good-hearted pastor who basically is having services in his home, but his vision is to build a church for the people, the poor people of that region. And so they need a lot of construction help. And I said, we have some guys in our congregation that are very talented in this area. I mean, come on. I mean, I know personally the guy that supervised the building of this church inside that did everything. Yeah, very talented in that area. I won't mention any names, but he runs the sound system back there. But anyway, the truth is that we need to pray now. We need to just pray now about, what of all the needs we saw the Lord would have us focus on, and would he call us to put together a team, a project, and a team to be able to go next year or whatever time that the Lord would lead. If you're interested, if you are praying and you are, interested, please see me, because I'm going to tell you this, that it is hard to understand until you go. It's hard to understand how powerful it is to be able to help people with real needs and to do so much with so little. It's so hard to understand in America how people have never heard the gospel some places. It's so hard to understand people live in such abject poverty. I told some of the folks this morning I wasn't going to talk long about the mission trip, but I got to tell you this, we saw, how many went to Mexico with us? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, we saw a garbage dump in Mexico, but nothing like in Guatemala City. It was, eight soccer fields big, if you can picture that. And, people live there. How many thousands of people? 15,000 people live in the garbage dump to survive. They rummage through the garbage to get some recyclables and then go and sell that. They make sometimes $1 a day doing that. If they're really fortunate and can find a lot, they can make maybe $3. And this is how they survive. But it's so sad because... the women are doing this, and mostly men too, but a lot of women, and they have these little babies, and they tie them to their back, like with a blanket of some sorts, and they wrap it around them. I watched one lady do that, and so they're all day long like this with the baby in their back, and so when the baby gets hungry and cries, babies do that. They can buy a little bottle of shoe glue, very cheap. Now listen, they open the bottle of shoe glue and they wave it in front of the baby's nose so that it puts the baby to sleep. The orphanage, the reason that the orphanage got started is that the man who began the orphanage was actually doing his dissertation. I don't know what the exact topic was, but he had to go out to the garbage dump and do research. And when he saw this, God touched his heart. And he actually opened the orphanage. The orphanage is not what we would think is an orphanage. The children, most of them have mothers that work in the garbage dump. But what he said is that we need to get these children out of there, at least during the daytime, and give them a good meal and clean them up and teach them about Jesus. And so that's what the orphanage does. The orphanage, it's more like a Christian daycare, day center, and just incredible what they're doing to help these children. A lot of you had donated clothes for this trip. And so here's how that went. We had... many clothes, and so we lined them up on tables. And the one night, what they did is they let the mothers come home from the garbage dump and come into the orphanage and actually pick clothes for their children, from all the clothes that you had donated. And I got to tell you, these mothers were just so happy to have these were nice clothes that you donated. There were some beautiful things that these mothers were just beaming, excited, happy about. And so from the bottom of my heart, because I saw their hearts, thank you. Thank you. You made a difference this week. You made a difference this week. And it was wonderful. Let me tell you, Guatemala, in one way, you want to say something, don't you? Absolutely. Please. Would you give, where is the handheld? So you can, people need to hear this. Here. I will come to you.
Which way?
Amen.
We had a wellness clinic set up for 2 days. We set up at the orphanage, and it was for the women of the dump. Yeah. And they were supposed to come and bring, if they were not feeling well, bringing their small children. And it was just like to listen to their heart and for cuts and bruises. It wasn't anything intense. And the first day, no women showed up because they could not afford to leave the dump.
Because that's their living
money. Their salary to bring their sick children to the wellness clinic. So the second day, we had some women show up. The first woman came in, and we had a translator, obviously. And so we was taking her blood pressure. We weighed them and their height. And we asked her what was wrong. And she said her husband just died that morning at the dump. And they were working. And he had went to the doctor earlier. And I missed the translation, that part. I don't know whether they couldn't help him or they didn't know what was wrong, but it was something going on with his stomach.
Yes.
And she has three children. One who is in their early teens, has some kind of special needs, paralyzed, and then two younger children, like 9 and 5, that are home taking care of this teenager because he needed help. Yeah. But when she's just broke and she's sobbing that her husband died that morning right before she came in the dump. And during, while she was talking, I mean, what, you just pray with her and love on her, you know, mm-hmm. What can you do? But I was just reminded when she said then that the people from the trash people, they just came in and they just buried him in the trash. And it really broke my heart thinking that, you know, the dignity of a person, of God, of someone made in God's image, is getting buried in a heap of trash. And I was just reminded of Mother Teresa, you know, and the work and ministry that she did in India, that, you know, those people were dying, but she brought them in and just loved on them during their last breath and led them, you know, some to the Lord, probably some not, but she let them die in dignity.
Yes.
And I just heard God just saying to me, that's, you know, even with Heidi Baker, that's why you stop for the one.
Yes.
That's why you stop for that one before, you know, and show them. He wants them, everyone, just to have that love and honor and dignity in their lives.
Amen.
And it was just, I just can't imagine. I mean, that was our first experience with someone coming in for the dump, and it was something of that magnitude. And I just, you know, God allowed that to work in our hearts.
Yes. So. Amen. 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 So, you know, Guatemala, in one way, is like everywhere. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. People need to be free from bondages. People need to be free from fears. People need to be healthy inside and out. People need to be healthy mentally, spiritually, physically. Amen? People need Jesus. People need God. People need hope. People need what we have, Christ. And that's God's game plan, you know, to give what we have and make a difference. And it feels so good. It feels so good to be used by God to make a difference. Amen? Yeah. So today I wanna just speak to you and tell you that, you know, what God wants for you. What God wants for you is to be free and healthy so that you can fulfill his purposes for you. And that you can live the kind of life that brings life to others. This is what God wants for you. You know, God has a purpose for every one of us. Every one of us has a purpose to fulfill. Each person's purpose is unique to them. You know, every person has a very unique purpose that you're created for. Everyone. And even though every purpose is unique, there is one common thing that can help you understand it. Because the common thing about all of our purposes is that in some way God has called you to impact others, to help others. In some way God has called you to help others. I can stand here today and guarantee you that even though your purpose is unique, it will have something to do with you helping others. This is your purpose, your destiny. This is what you were saved for. There is no doubt. No doubt. Everyone's different, but this is the common thing. He has saved you to make a difference in the lives of somebody else or some other people. There's no question. God said to Jeremiah, "In your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet for the nations." In your mother's womb, while you were being created, God already had the purpose for your life in mind. He already knew that he created you for this, that he could rescue you so that you could help others. This is our common purpose. Amen? Come on, amen. This is true. It's a lie to believe that only pastors are called by God. That's a lie. Everyone is called by God. You know that passage, Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for you. For you. Plans that are good. But I want you to know that while God has these good plans for you, you can ignore them. You can ignore God and run away from the plans that he has for you. The Apostle Paul was able to say this. He said, at the end of Paul's ministry, he was able to say, "I have run the race. I have finished the course. I have completed the work that God has called me to do." Don't you want to say that? I want to say that at the end of my days, whatever that is, I want to be able to say, "I have completed the work you have called me." This is what Jesus said. John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying that great prayer, John chapter 17, he prayed to the Father and he said, "Father, I have completed the work that you have called me to do." Don't you want to say that? I have completed the work that you have called me to do. This is what we must seek the Lord about. And he, you know, all the Lord needs is a willing heart. That's all he ever needs. A willing heart. A willing heart. So Jonah is our text today. You know this book, right? The book of Jonah. You can turn there with me. You know this book, but let's look at it today and let's use it. Let's allow God to use it to speak to us. Amen? Jonah is our text today. Jonah was a prophet. Let me ask you, what is a prophet? What is a prophet? You can answer that. What is a New Testament prophet? What is a prophet? This is your chance. Somebody? Messenger. Amen. Anybody else? Prophet? Definition? What do you think? The prophet is someone who hears from God and then speaks what God says to them to speak, does what God tells them to do. This is the definition of a prophet. A prophet is someone who hears from God and then speaks what God tells them or does what God tells them. In a way, we are all then called to be prophets, right? In a way, we are all called to hear from God, right? To hear from God and then say what he tells us to say or do what he tells us to do. This is our common purpose, right? Too, we hear from God. God has made you to be able to hear from Him. He saved you and He filled you with His Spirit. Same Spirit in me, same Spirit in you, same Spirit in the people in Guatemala, same Spirit. So God's desire is for us to be able to learn to hear His voice. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. You know, this is what God desires. And you know, it's a process to learn to tune into God's voice. It's not an exact science. That's the challenge of it, is that sometimes we can be on the wrong frequency. Sometimes we just, you know, can't hear, but sometimes we can. Especially if we seek to, if we want to, if we really ask the Lord, you know, Lord, speak to me. He doesn't speak in audible voices, not very often. That's not His way, because He doesn't need to anymore. He has His Spirit inside of us, and we learn to tune into His Spirit. We learn to be able to recognize how He can inspire us, how He can inspire thoughts in us. This is what He does. But you know, He has to get through all the junk that sometimes goes on in our minds to be able to speak, for us to hear Him clearly. Amen? But we're all called to this. We're all called to listen for God's voice. When we're reading God's Word, in order for the Word to come alive to us, in order for the Word to minister to us, to speak to us, to guide us, we have to learn then to listen as we're reading to the Spirit being able to inspire us about what we're reading. Amen? This is it. Jonah was a prophet. And Jonah heard from God. Amen? Jonah, in a way, was like us, human, and he had, you know, his own junk going on, you know, his own biases, his own faults, his own prejudices, you know, his own sins. But God still wanted to use him. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Now, I got to tell you a little bit about Nineveh. Nineveh was right smack in the middle of the Assyrian Empire in that day. The Assyrians were the mortal enemies of the Israelites. Now, Jonah is an Israelite. Jonah is a Jew. And so when the Lord said to him, go to Nineveh, He was saying to Jonah, go to where your enemies live. And the Lord said to Jonah, go and preach to them that I'm sick and tired of their evil. I'm sick and tired of their abominations, of their worship of false gods, that I am judging them. I'm going to judge them. Now listen carefully. Why did God say to Jonah, go and preach to them that I'm going to judge you? Why wouldn't God just simply judge them? Wipe them out. The answer to this question is one of the keys to the book of Jonah. But God spoke to Jonah and said, go and preach to them, I'm sick and tired of their abominations, of their evil, of their sinning. Why would God do that? Why didn't He just judge them? That's what Jonah wanted to know. Why do I have to go there? Just wipe them out. That's it. That's, you know, see, when God said to Jonah, go and preach, Jonah already had this thought. Wait a minute. If you're sending me to go and preach to them, you're going to give them another chance, aren't you? You're going to give them, my enemies, another chance, aren't you? You understand? That's what was going on in his mind. So, the word of the Lord comes, he hears it clearly, and so he begins to run, but he ran in the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. Nineveh was over there, Tarshish is over here, east, west, opposite. He goes and jumps on a boat heading for Tarshish, and Nineveh's over that way. What's up with that? And as you know, as he was running away from the call of God in his life, as he was running away from what the Lord told him to do, that's when the storm came. That's when the storm came. He's on the boat with these sailors that were not Israelites, not Jews. Most of them were pagans, you know, false god worshipers. He's on this boat filled with these drunken sailors, heading to Tarshish, and this storm, like no other storm, comes. Now let me just pause there and say, God caused that storm. When you run away from God, God wants you back. And sometimes he knows that in order to get you back, he has to get your attention. Sometimes that means all God really has to do in times like that is to take that hand that protects you during your obedient walk with God and just simply do this. Because when you walk out of God's will, you walk out of his wall of protection, hedge of protection for you. So all he has to do is just do this. You understand what I mean? And you become a target. Fair game, we would say, as an expression here. Storm came. God allowed it to come. It's very interesting happened, though. When the storm was so, I mean, it was bad. These sailors had never seen a storm like this. They knew they were going to die. That's how bad the storm was. The sailors knew that there's no way we can navigate through this storm. They tried everything, throw everything off the ship, you know, lighten the load. You know, they tried, but they realized, we're dead men. Jonah realized it too, but Jonah knew why the storm came. And Jonah, now listen to this. This is another key piece. Jonah knew that he was the cause of the storm. And he did something good, very noble, that shows that Jonah was not a bad guy. Jonah said to the sailors, I'm the cause of the storm. He fessed up. Jonah said to the sailors, the storm is because of me. They say, What do we do? And Jonah says, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. The sailors' eyes got big, you know. They're like, what? We can't do that. You'll die. Jonah says, if you don't, you will die. If you don't, you will die. That's interesting. That's a wow. I mean, that shows that even though Jonah was running away from God, he was still a man of integrity. He still knew that he was the cause of these sailors going to be losing their lives. And instead of having that guilt on his head, he says, if you throw me over, the storm will stop. I'm sure of it because I'm the cause of it. Can I tell you something that we need to know is that, now let me just speak to the men for a second. Can I just speak to you guys? You know, this is why it's so important for us to hear from God and do what God tells us to. Because when we walk away from, when we disobey, we bring storms into our family's lives. Amen? This is serious. It's a lesson for us to understand. Jonah knew. He knew he was the cause. Throw me overboard. Finally, he convinces the sailors. Finally, he says, you got to do this or you're going to die. And they say, oh, okay, if this is what you say, They throw him overboard. Now listen, the storm stops. But he's out in the middle of the ocean. But God is in control. Has God left Jonah? No. You may think in those storms God leaves you. He does not. He's still there. Jonah did the right thing, actually. And God said, Jonah, I'm not done with you. Jonah, I understand. God sent this huge fish, probably a sperm whale, probably, you know, I actually went online and I read that it is technically possible to live inside of a whale, this mammal, for a short time. God was there, and Jonah in the belly of the whale began to pray to God. You remember? Jonah began to repent. Jonah began to say to the Lord, Lord, I know that I did wrong. Began to worship, began to pray, began to talk to God, and God heard and caused that great fish, whatever it was, to actually vomit Jonah up, shallow water next to dry land. Jonah was saved. He's alive. He's out of the well. He's on dry land. He's given another opportunity. He's given another chance. Isn't that what God does in our lives? When we repent, when we call on Him, when we say, Lord, I know now I walked out of your will, Lord. God is the God of second chances. God is the God of third chances. God is the God of mercy. This is mercy, church. This is mercy in action. But now the word of the Lord again came to Jonah. Now, what are you going to do, you know? Well, Jonah listened. Jonah heard again, go to Nineveh. And so he went. Jonah went, and he was told by God what to do. He was told to preach, go through the city and preach. And he preached this word that God is going to judge you because of your sins, because of your evil, because of your abominations, because of turning away from the true God. God is judging you. And interestingly, the king of Nineveh hears this word from an enemy, recognizes it's from God. He knows. He's convicted. This is what the Holy Spirit does, even to people that aren't saved. Matter of fact, that's how you get saved, is when the Holy Spirit moves upon the heart of somebody not yet knowing God, convicts them of sin, brings them to the point of repentance. This is what He does in us, even as Christians. This is the benefit of having the Holy Spirit, because He can convict us. Thank God we can feel that conviction. If we can't feel that conviction, we are dead men and women. If we can no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we're done. You might as well just hang it up, because you are toast. You're done. But if you can feel the conviction, somebody said to me, Lord Pastor, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I said, if you think you have, you haven't. Because the unpardonable sin is when you lose all sense of conviction of wrong. You've grieved away the Holy Spirit to the point where you no longer have any sensitivity to Him. No longer. It's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You have driven Him so far away that you no longer feel the conviction of sin. You have grown so calloused that there is no opportunity for God to get through and convict you, and you're dead. Because then you cannot repent. You will not repent. So, if you think you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't. That's good news, huh? Even this king was able to feel the conviction of the Lord and repent. Sackcloth, ashes, and all the people saw the leader repenting, and they followed suit. They repented. And the most amazing thing happened. Jonah was ticked off. Ticked off. That's an understatement. This Jonah was mad as a hornet. He goes out of the city and sits, waiting to see what's going to happen. And all the time he's waiting, he's stewing. He's stewing. Look at that. They're repenting. Oh, these are my enemies. God's going to give them another chance. Oh, he's burning up inside. And he's also burning up outside, by the way, because this scorching sun begins to beat down on his head. He's probably getting older like me, and I'm getting a little thin on the top, so he probably really was feeling it. Huh? And so God, you got to understand. Oh, God is so cool. God says this is a teachable moment. How many have been in those teachable moments? This is a teachable moment. So he says, okay, I know what I'll do. He miraculously, God is the God of life, you know, he can do anything. He miraculously begins. Do you ever watch one of those fast motion videos of something growing? That's what I picture. You know what I mean? Like you see, it speeds up the cycle, and I just imagine that God just began to bring this vine up out of the ground. It had to have been, and began to spread over Jonah's head. And Jonah's like, ooh, that's good. I'm in the shade now. Teachable moment. Now listen. So Jonah is now, you know, happy because he's sitting and he has the shade. So he starts to forget a little bit about, you know, what's going on down below. So God says, okay, now watch this. So God sends the worm to eat the root of the vine. And again, must have been a hungry caterpillar. You have that book, The Hungry Caterpillar? Yeah. He begins to chew, and the vine begins to wither. And as the vine begins to wither, no more shade. And Jonah, again, gets angry. Yeah. Can't believe it. Just when things were okay. Can't believe it. This is miserable. Ah, this is so miserable. I feel like just dying. We can be like this. We can be like this, you know? Oh, God. I can't believe that you just allowed that vine to wither up. And God says to Jonah, Jonah, can I ask you something? Who provided that vine? Who provided the vine, Jonah? Who provided the vine, Jonah? Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? Yes, Jonah says. I have a right to be angry. I'm so angry I could die. God says, no, you don't. Jonah, you have no right to be angry. I provided that vine. There wasn't any before I spoke it into existence. Jonah, you have no right to be angry. And then he began to speak to Jonah using that object lesson. That's what God does, right? He uses those lessons. He's such a good teacher. If you listen to God, he can teach you. With the experiences of your life, he can teach you. And he says, you know, look out. You're angry because I'm having mercy upon these people. There are so many people in this town, Jonah, in this huge city, actually, that don't know their right hand from their left hand. I mean, their left hand from... that don't know. Yet you are angry because I'm having mercy upon them. You have no right, Jonah. You have no right. I made these people, and I have the right to spare them. You are angry with me that I am merciful to them. But Jonah, don't you know I have been merciful to you? How come you're willing to receive mercy for yourself and not being willing to receive mercy for others that I want to give? Jonah, how can you be like this? This is not how I am. I made you to be like me. And Jonah still didn't get it. I got to tell you, the book ends, and I don't think Jonah ever understood. He said, this is why I ran in the first place. I know you're a merciful God. This is why I ran away. Because you would spare those miserable... that says, I have a right. They deserve another chance. They deserve another chance. I believe that some people living in that city in that day were saved. I believe that some people did repent. Now, it didn't last. I got to tell you that in the next generation, again, the Assyrians turned away from God and God judged them. He finally did bring judgment upon those people, but not until he gave them the chance. God does that in our lives, but if we never listen, you know, we're the ones that bring our own judgment into our lives. God gives us chances, but we got to listen. We got to turn back to him. Listen. Jonah was not understanding that there were going to be times in Jonah's life when God would call him to speak God's mercy to people that Jonah didn't think deserved it. And there's going to be times in your life the same thing might happen. When God tells you to go speak mercy to somebody that you don't think deserves it. The truth of the matter is there's no one that really does. Again, remember what I said. God's grace and his mercy are given to us not because we deserve it. No. We didn't deserve it when God gave his mercy to save us. Jonah didn't understand. I'm not sure that we really get it all the time. You know, I think if we really got the truth of this message, it would compel us to be merciful to others and to share God's grace and to share God's love more than it does. But you see, in order for us to hear from God and fulfill the call he has for us, remember what we said, it's God's will for us to be saved, yes, to be forgiven. But that's not the end of the story. We know that. That's the beginning of a new life with God. Then God begins to work in you, and he wants to heal you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to equip you so that then you can be help to somebody else. But you have to get healthy first. Amen? You have to open your life up to God and say, okay, God, you saved me, but now I know what you did. You cleansed me of all my sins, and my spirit is cleansed, but boy, I still have a heart full of hurts. I still have a heart full of anger, a heart full of fears. I need your healing in my life. I need to be free from the bondages. When you're saved, he doesn't automatically take away your old thoughts. Even doesn't automatically sometimes take away your old habits. You're still sometimes needing to be free and healthy. Amen? Jesus said to the Jews when he was speaking to the Jews who believed in him, he said, you need to be free. This is that famous scripture where it says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know that passage. But whenever Jesus said that, do you remember what they said in response? What are you talking about? We've never been slaves to anyone. That was their response. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we need to be free? They didn't get it. Jesus said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You need to be free. And these were people that already believed, but these were people that still were holding on to the old way of life. You understand? They weren't free. He said, I offer you freedom. I offer you health. I offer you life. I offer you strength. I offer you deliverance, as well as salvation, forgiveness. But then, you know, God needs us to be willing, right? He needs us to be willing. He needs us to be obedient. He wants us to be in right relationship. This is where we find peace. This is where we find fulfillment. This is where we find blessing. This is where we find life, in the middle of God's will. When we're obedient, when we're walking with him, this is where the abundant life is. It comes through obedience, my church. It comes through obedience, my loved ones. Every day on the trip, I saw your faces. I'm serious. You are my loved ones. I mean that with my heart. And I know God has so much for you. So much for you. We need to listen. We need to stay in right relationship with Him. We need to walk close with Him. We need to stop being a target to the enemy. We need to stop walking out of God's hedge of protection. We need to stop bringing hurt and pain to our families. We need to come back and say to God, yes, I will listen. And God rescues us. He redirects our path. You know, He's that incredible GPS. He's the one that can bring us back on course to the path He's marked out for us. But He always, 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 always gives you the choice. He does not force you. He always gives you the choice. You must be like Joshua and say to the Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose life, God says in His word. The healthy life, the life of peace, the life of contentment, the life of joy, the life of provision, the life of protection. It comes from saying yes to God for His will for you. From walking in obedience to Him. From walking with Him, not running away from Him. Not running away from your calling, church, your purpose, your destiny. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. He did not say, seek it after you seek other things. But how many of us need to confess to the Lord, we're not seeking Him first? Oh, we may seek Him, but not first. He doesn't say, seek Him after you seek these things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And then my provision will come into your life. We heard a great word spoken by Mark Simpson. He said, listen, he said, when God gives a vision for your life, when God gives a purpose for your life, when He shows you, begins to speak to you about that, He will always make provision for you to fulfill it. Always. It never fails. If God gives you that word, that gives you that purpose, gives you that vision, He will make provision to make it happen. All these things will be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God. So I say to you, fathers, be a blessing for your families. Mothers, stop arguing with your spouses. Start listening to God. You know, when you go to God, you say, oh, if you knew my husband, my miserable wife, God already knows that person and loves them dearly. You must too. Husbands, step up. Step up. Be the man of God. God has called you to be. He's called you to lead your family. If there were a natural disaster, I know every man in this congregation would try to lead your family to safety. I know it. I know it. But I want to tell you, there's a spiritual disaster happening all around us. And we need to lead our families through that. And to safety. Young men and young women, take your place. Take your place. You're not too young to lead. You're not too young to walk in your calling. You're not too young to walk in your destiny. Don't use your talents and abilities all on other things and just bring to God your leftovers. Use your talents and abilities for Him. Step up. Widows, God still has a purpose for you. Your life is not over. Your life is not over. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. You still can make such an impact. makes such a difference. God has planned good things for all of us, church. A purpose that we can walk in and find fulfillment for our lives. Don't run away. Come. Say yes. Amen. That's all he wants. Just a willing heart. Yes. My wife wears a ring. It says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." We can make such a difference, church. We can make such a difference in this world. Us to be willing. Needs us to say yes. You can make a difference. You're born to this. Step up. Don't run away. By your side, Doug. That's the name of this song. By your side. As we sing it, let's say yes. I'll be by your side whenever you go. In the edge of night. You know me, I can't sing very well. My wife says, if I don't know the words, I just make them up. But I don't want to make these words up. I want to sing it with you. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to worship, and I want you to say yes to God, and just say, I'm willing. Just say, I'm willing. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm coming to you, back to you. I'm coming to you, Lord. You're right. Amen. I'm going to hear your voice again. Come on, stand with me, church. I want to hear your voice again. I want to be life for my family. I want to be life for those you've called me to be life for. I say yes to you, Lord. I say yes to you, Lord.
Why are you striving?
Jesus, let's just worship
these days.